Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. When I was growing up, my father ran the horse racetrack in Omaha, Nebraska. And when I was a young adult during the summers, my job was to go into the very inner room of the racetrack where all the money came back to, and all day long I would count dollar bills. And now and then, when I would count, something felt a little too smooth, kind of waxy, and you'd look, and it was a counterfeit. But I could spot the counterfeit like this because I knew the feel of the genuine item so well. And here's my plea for you. Read the Bible for yourself. Don't believe whatever your preacher tells you to believe. Get the feel of these pages between your fingers, and the more you know the genuine item, the more you're going to be able to spot a counterfeit like this. Here's what I'm going to do on this program. This is an important program. I'm going to talk about the four truths of the Bible and then how counterfeits about them have slipped into Christian churches. Christian churches that used to be good and now they're following the world instead of following the Scripture. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for your church. So many denominations have just compromised and they're more worldly than they are scriptural. And we would pray if anybody watching this program has bought the lie of these counterfeits that you will correct them today. Speak to us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Biblical truth number one. Jesus is the only way of salvation. Jesus himself said this in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, period. The apostles taught the same thing. Acts chapter 4, there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. So somebody goes to a funeral and she says, Pastor Tom, I went to the funeral and the preacher got up there and he says, Jesus, I'm quoting Jesus from John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. Period. The person I know went up afterwards, Pastor, why didn't you quote the second half of the verse, no one comes to the Father except through me? You know what the pastor said? I didn't want to offend anyone. Is it offensive to say that Jesus is the only Savior? Yes. Is it the truth? Yes. A man is walking through the forest. He falls into a dark pit. He's at the bottom of this big pit. He's so broken he can't move. He cries for help. Buddha walks into the forest. He hears the man's cries. He comes and he looks to the bottom. Oh, sir, if you will work yourself up two-thirds of the way, I will pull you up the last third. But the man couldn't move. Buddha walked on. That's called Buddhism. Muhammad walks into the forest, hears the man's cries, looks down. Muhammad lifts his nose. It must be fate, the will of Allah. And he moves on. That's called Islam. Confucius walks into the forest, looks into the pit. Oh, you foolish fellow, you fall into pit. I give you wise proverb. If ever in forest again, do not fall into pit. He walks on. That's called Confucianism. And then Jesus walked into the forest. He heard the man's cries. Jesus gets on all fours, climbs to the very bottom of that pit, gets cut and wounded in the process. Jesus puts the man on his shoulders, carries him up to the top, puts him safely in the sunlight. That's Christianity. There's only one way out of the pit, said Jesus, and that's through him. That's the truth. Here's the counterfeit in many liberal churches today. Again, these churches used to be good Bible-believing churches. They've gone over the cliff. Here's the counterfeit that they've swallowed. There are many paths to God. Don't be so narrow. The head bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, she's now retired, she was asked by a Chicago newspaper, "Bishop Eaton, is there a hell?" She responded, "There may be a hell, but I think it's empty." Jesus said there's a hell. He said people are weeping and gnashing their teeth in hell. You know, I served in the ELCA Lutheran Church for many years as a pastor. Finally, I led my congregation out into a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. But for years, we'd go to the conventions every year and get heresy. So one year, the Lutheran pastor is putting on the Jewish Christian Seminar. So my delegate and I went, and the pastor said, "The Jews are saved, the Christians are saved, we're all saved." My delegate and I went up afterwards. My delegate says, "But pastor, what about the verses in the Bible that teach that if you reject Christ, you go to hell?" And the pastor said, "There's no hell." Here's the truth. There's a heaven, there's a hell. Jesus is the only way to be saved. Truth number two. We are saved by God's grace, not by our good works. Ephesians chapter 2, "For by God's grace you have been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not because of your good works, lest anyone should boast." In other words, everybody thinks they're going to heaven because they're good enough. Nobody's good enough. It's only by what Christ did, by grace, we're saved. And so, God forgive him, the late Pope Francis said to atheists, "Just do good, and I'll see you in heaven." The Bible says no one is good. And then, more recently, Bishop Barron of the Roman Catholic Church was on the Ben Shapiro show. Ben Shapiro says, "You know, I'm Jewish. My Christian friends think I'm going to hell because I don't believe in Jesus. Bishop, what do you say?" And Bishop Barron said, "Well, Jesus is the preferred route. But Ben, just follow your conscience and you'll be saved." Nobody follows their conscience. Jesus said no one is good but God alone. The Apostle Paul, Romans 3, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I remember years ago, the pastor in his sermon said, "I have an 80-year-old Aunt Edith, not a Christian woman, and a nice, kind woman, but not a believer." And he said, "One day my wife pushed me out the door, 'Go across town and talk to Aunt Edith about her soul.'" So he said, "I drove across town, sitting in her lovely living room, very wealthy. 'Aunt Edith, can I ask you two questions today?' 'Well, yes, Pastor.' 'Well, question number one, if you died tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven?' 'Well, Pastor, I hope so.' And he said, 'Well, the Bible says you can know where you're going to go.' But he said, 'Question number two, if you died tonight and stood before God and he said, 'Why should I let you into heaven?' what would you say?" She came out with the number one wrong answer. "Well, I think I've been good. I've tried to live a good life and I think God will let me into heaven." And the pastor said, "Okay, Aunt Edith, let's see how good you are. Don't answer out loud, but let me just take you through the Ten Commandments and answer these questions in your heart. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is God the most important thing in your life 24 hours a day? Have you ever let your children, your grandchildren, your lovely home, has anything ever been more important to you than God? If so, you broke the first commandment. You deserve God's punishment. Commandment number two, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Do you ever say, "Oh my God, oh Lord"? Have you ever said Jesus Christ is a swear word? If so, you profaned the holy name of God. You broke the second commandment. Commandment number three, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Do you love going to worship the Lord? Do you go and worship the Lord every week? Or do you maybe make it Christmas and Easter? If so, you broke the third commandment. Commandment number four, honor your father and mother. Do you ever sass your parents back? Do you ever disobey them? If so, you broke the fourth commandment. Commandment number five, thou shalt not kill." And he said when he got to this one, she kind of breathed easy. But then the pastor said, You know, the Bible says if you've ever hated anybody in your heart, you've killed them. He took her through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. By the time he was done with Aunt Edith, she knew she wasn't going to make it. And he said, are you really going to, on Judgment Day, say, let me in, I'm good? And she said, no. And he said, where do you deserve to go when you die? And Aunt Edith said, hell, Pastor. And the pastor said, me too. And he said, you can't get to heaven by being good because no one is. You can't get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments because we break them in thought, word, and deed. So God gave us a whole different way to be saved. Would you like to know, Aunt Edith, that your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven instead of hell when you die? And she said, please. And at that point, he shared with her what's called the gospel, the good news. Listen very carefully. This is the most important thing I preach. Here we go. Up here is heaven. Heaven is God's perfect home. If you wanted to get into heaven, you have to be just like God is, absolutely perfect. And let's say that my billfold here represents sin. God won't let sin into heaven. If he did, you'd have hatred, murder, crime, rape, abortion, pornography. It'd be America all over again. So God doesn't let sin into heaven. And this hand represents you and me, a typical human being. And the problem is that we're all loaded with sin. We sin in thought, word, and deed daily. That's the bad news. The good news. 2,000 years ago, God came down out of heaven and became a human being. His name was Jesus. He never sinned once because he was God. When Jesus was about 33 years old, he took our sins off of him. He put them on his back. He carried our sins up to the cross. They put nails through his hands and feet. And all the sins that you and I deserve to get punished for, he took our punishment for us. He paid for our sins so that God would forgive us. It killed him. Our sins are buried with Christ. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, goes back to heaven. And now God promises you, no matter what sins you may have committed, no matter how horrible they are, if you will turn to Christ, trust in him, you're forgiven and you're going to heaven when you die. And I remember that pastor saying that 80-year-old Aunt Edith became a newborn babe in Christ that day. Almost everybody thinks they're going to heaven because they're good. No, they're not. It's only by the grace of God that we can be saved. So that's the truth. We're saved by grace alone. Do you know the counterfeit, though, that has snuck into the church? It's called grace abuse. It's all over the church. It goes like this. Well, because I'm saved by grace alone, I can live like the devil and still be saved. Lutherans, I'm a Lutheran. We're big that we're saved on grace alone. It's what the Bible teaches. But years ago, when I was still in the ELCA Lutheran Church, I heard that the Lutheran hospital in Portland, Oregon, was performing abortions, elective abortions. I wrote the bishop. Bishop, how can a Christian hospital kill unborn children? You know what he wrote me back? We can do this because the Lutheran Church believes in the grace of God. That is evil grace abuse. I mean, veterans get one day, but every year now we have a whole month for gay pride. Tragically, a lot of churches around the country fly the gay pride flag, and they're celebrating sin for a whole month. Why? Hey, we're saved by grace. The United Church of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church, the Disciples of Christ, and the United Methodist Church, they all now do gay weddings, have gay pastors that are married to their same sex, and they're doing all this. Why? Well, hey, we're saved by grace. And listen to the statistics here. If you practice grace abuse, you get what you get. Since 1987, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has lost 49% of its members. The Disciples of Christ, 81% of its members. The United Church of Christ, the most liberal of all, 60% of its members. The Episcopal Church, 38% of its members. And the United Methodist Church now has lost about 60% of their members. Huh. What would the Apostle Paul say to grace abuse? Well, we know the answer because he said it in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? Paul's response, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into death to live in newness of life? Now, let me add one more point, though. Yes, we are saved by grace alone. I believe that. But I also believe grace never is alone. It always changes your life. Your good works will never save you. You're saved only by Christ's death on the cross, grace. But once you're saved by the grace of God, it changes your life. When I was at church, my church for 29 years, we had a marriage policy that if you're living together unmarried and you come to me to marry you, I can only do it if you repent, live apart, we'll do the counseling, we'll get you closer to God. But if you're going to keep living in sin and expect me to marry you, I won't do it. It's right there in our policy. So this young engaged couple fills out the form, and I notice they're at the same address. And I called the young woman. I said, you know, if you read it, if you guys will repent, we can talk about a wedding. But, well, I know. My fiance and I, we still want to meet with you. Okay? They came in, and I put 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Fornicators won't go to heaven. You guys are committing serious sin. According to this, you're not going to heaven if you died right now. Well, the young woman who was raised in the church, she started crying. The young man, when he discovered I wasn't going to marry them unless they repented, he started squirming. I mean, you knew he wanted out of that office. And at that point, I got a little bold, and I said to him, you're not liking this, are you? And I said, I'm just trying to get you guys to Christ. You need to repent of your sin. Well, they left. I'm guessing they got married somewhere else. But my point is, yes, we're saved by grace. But when you're saved by grace, it changes your life. We all still sin, even after conversion. I still sin every day in thought, word, and deed. But when we sin, we repent. We don't live in it. And if you're living in it, you haven't experienced the grace of God. Next truth of the Bible. The Bible is our highest authority. 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is inspired. That means breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, correction, etc. And doesn't that just make sense that the Bible gets the final say on everything? It's the words of Christ. It's the words of the apostles. So the Bible is the highest authority. Here's the counterfeit in the church today. We have a higher wisdom today than they had in the Bible. Again, when I was in the liberal denomination, every year we'd go to the synod conventions and we'd have difficult fights on the convention floor. And there was a little handful of conservative pastors and I, and we'd go and we'd get to the microphone. Why is the bishop's office promoting abortion and homosexuality? You know, what's going on here? So one year, my conservative friend said, Tom, go across town, talk to Pastor Paul, who's very liberal on these things, see if we can hash it out so we don't have another convention floor fight. So I drove across town, sat in his office, Pastor Paul, and I put Romans chapter 1 before his eyes. I said, Romans chapter 1 is so clear that homosexuality is wrong. Why are you condoning it? His response, we have higher wisdom today than the Apostle Paul had when he wrote Romans chapter 1. Did you catch that? The Bible's wrong and I'm right. Two years ago, the United Methodist Church voted to ordain practicing homosexuals and do gay weddings. Since then, they've lost 1 million members and 6,000 churches that have left for the global Methodists who still follow the scripture on those issues. But you know, even way back when I was in college, the United Methodist Church was getting off. And there was a, near my college, there was a United Methodist Church. Christmas time I visited, the preacher gets on the pulpit. Today I preach on the myth of the virgin birth of Christ. In other words, the Bible's wrong and I'm right. No, you're not. One last truth of the Bible. Number four. There is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can always spot a cult because they play with the Trinity. For instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe in one God and three persons. They don't believe Jesus is God. Then you've got the Mormons. They believe Jesus is God, but they've got thousands of gods. And if you're a good Mormon, you can become a god too. So the truth is there's one God in three eternal persons, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Here's the counterfeit that has slipped into Christian churches, not the cults, but this is the counterfeit that's now within Christian churches. Here's the counterfeit. God is whatever you want him, her, it to be. So I visited an ELCA Lutheran church once, and the woman preacher gets up. You know, I had a woman in my office who needed counseling. And I said to her, you know, you had a difficult relationship with your earthly father, so you must find it difficult to pray to God as your father. So why don't just pray to God as your mother? And it made me angry. You know, here's a dear woman who definitely needs a loving heavenly father, and this pastor just took him away from her. I mean, you can go to some churches today now, again, the liberal ones I just mentioned, some of them pray the New Lord's Prayer, our mother and father who art in heaven, because they think it's sexist to call God Father, which Jesus taught us to do, our Father in heaven. Across the street from where I live is a United Methodist Church. And so one Sunday I visited. The pastor gets up to baptize the child. I baptize this child in the name of the one who makes all things and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch what he did? He got rid of God the Father. I found his P.O. box in the lobby. I wrote him a note. Dear Pastor, Jesus taught us to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't have the right to correct Jesus Christ. You know, beware of, instead of getting the blessing at the end of the service, go in the blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes they'll de-sex it, bless you in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. I mean, ugh. Let's review this. There are four false teachings that have slipped into the Christian church. The truth is, Jesus is the only way of salvation. The counterfeit is, well, he's nice, but he's one of many ways. The second truth is, we're saved by God's grace alone, not by our good works, and that's true. But the counterfeit is, therefore, because we're saved by grace, let's sin it up and we'll be fine. No, you won't. The third truth is the Bible is our highest authority. The counterfeit is, well, but I know more than the Bible. We're smarter today than the Bible. And then the last counterfeit is, excuse me, the truth is there's one God in three persons. The counterfeit is God is whatever you want him, her, it to be. You make up your own version of God. And that is in Christian churches today. So again, I go back to the racetrack. Here I was as a young adult counting money all day long, but I knew the genuine item. Listen, just because your pastor says something is true doesn't mean it is. Read the Bible for yourself. And if Jesus says he's the only way in John chapter 14 and your pastor says no, he isn't, you go with Scripture and you find a better church. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question from a viewer today is, I am a Mormon. We do not believe in many gods. We believe in one God.
Yeah, and he saw a show where I said Mormons believe in many gods. Mm-hmm. You know, some Mormons don't know their own church doctrine. So Mormonism is not Christianity. It's not like you're a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or something. Mormonism is a whole different religion. Here's why. Yeah, they believe in one God over this planet, mm-hmm. but and he used to be a man on another planet, and he attained godhood.
if you're a good Mormon, you can attain godhood and get your own planet to rule. Like our God the Father, you can become God the Father somewhere. They believe in thousands of gods. So Mormonism is not Christianity. There you go.
Okay. I go to a church where my pastor says that God is inclusive and we should be too. So is it fine to have gay pastors? What should I say?
I know this issue because I fought it in the ELCA Lutheran Church for years. If your pastor is fine with doing a gay wedding or inviting a gay pastor to preach, I'd find another church. Because I've only seen a pastor like that turn around once in all my years of ministry. So the Bible is clear. Go to my website, pastorstudy.org. Look at the article called What Does the Bible Teach About Homosexuality? Both the Old and New Testaments forbid that behavior. Yes, there's forgiveness if people repent, but if you're going to live in it, don't put that guy in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And so I think I'd have to find another church.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you say to someone who claims all religions believe in the same God and all religions have some version of the Ten Commandments?
Well, there are other religions than Christianity that believe in one God. Jews, Muslims, Christians believe in one God. Hindus, Mormons, and some others believe in thousands of gods. So it's true that I don't think the Muslim God is the same as the Christian God. Mm-hmm. Christian God has one God, three persons. The Muslims deny that Jesus is God. I believe Jesus is God. We don't believe the same thing. When people say, oh, they all believe the same thing, I believe Jesus is God. Muslims think that's heresy to say Jesus is God. Somebody's wrong. We can't both be right. So it's called the law of contradiction, whether you like it or not. Well, listen, everybody, thanks for watching this program. If you want to watch our TV shows for free at any time, you just go to pastorstudy.org, or you can go to Facebook. We're on Facebook. Facebook Shorts. We're on YouTube Shorts, Facebook Reels, Instagram, TikTok, Threads. Go to hashtag pastorstudy.org. But just if you want to watch any of this stuff, lots of people see our Facebook Reels. We get lots of insulting comments, but we're persevering. And so just if God nudges you to support our ministry, pray for us if you would. When people support us, it overwhelmingly goes to buy airtime, and we're very frugal. And Mona, I'm driving a 1910 Honda, so I don't have a jet. God bless you. See you next week at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.